Does this gospel sound a little familiar? Just a few weeks ago, maybe three or four, we heard a similar story with the apostles fighting about who among them was the greatest. And if you remember, Jesus put a child in their midst and told them that unless they turn and become like little children, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Now today, they're a little more clever. It's an ancient tactic that every child knows. You go to your teacher or your parent and you say, I have something to ask you and I want you to say yes to it. Right? So you can get that implicit, of course, you know, before you even ask the question. And that's what the apostles do with Jesus. But Jesus being smart, he doesn't say, okay. He just asks them, what's the question? And they ask, well, when you come into your glory, give us the privilege of sitting at your left and at your right. You see, they're still thinking in ambitious terms, in worldly terms. And Jesus gives them an instruction that if they wish to share in his glory, they must drink the cup that he drinks and be baptized with the baptism with which he's about to be baptized. What is the cup that Jesus drinks? What is the baptism into which he is baptized but his passion, death, and resurrection? You see, the apostles were all martyred, except for St. John. But James and John are the two apostles that are the focus of this event in the life of Jesus. James was the first martyr amongst the 12. He was martyred by Herod Agrippa by having his head cut off. And the story is recounted in Acts chapter 15, after the Council of Jerusalem. John, on the other hand, wasn't physically martyred, though they tried more than once to put him to death. Most famously, they took him and they put him into a cauldron of boiling oil, trying to get him to renounce his faith in the resurrection, and he refused, and he survived. So instead, they sent him in exile to the island of Patmos, where he received his revelation and wrote the book of the Apocalypse. But John had his own martyrdom, a spiritual martyrdom, because he was the only one of the 12 apostles that remained with Christ at the foot of Golgotha. He had an interior martyrdom as he watched his beloved Jesus be crucified and tortured on the cross. Why, though, again, that question, does Jesus refer to his death as a cup and a baptism? Well, because biblically, the Psalms are full with images of drinking the cup or the chalice, right? Most famously, Psalm 116, which says, how shall I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? The chalice of salvation I will take and call upon the name of the Lord. Then there's Psalm 23, my cup overfloweth. You see, Jesus didn't go to the cross with hesitation. Jesus longed, he thirsted to go and lay down his life for us. He thirsted for it. And so he speaks of his upcoming death as a cup, as a chalice which he is going to drink, and in which he invites his disciples to partake of. But then he refers to it as a baptism. Right? The Greek word for baptism is to be plunged or immersed into. Jesus is saying he's going to be immersed in his passion and death. He's going to be plunged into it. Right? If you go back to Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, after our Lord comes out of the water, the voice of the Father echoes over him, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." At that moment, he was called the beloved Son, hearkening back to the story in Genesis of Abraham and Isaac. You see, there's only one other person called beloved Son in Scripture, and that's Isaac. Is referred to as Abraham's beloved son. And if you remember the story, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. So Abraham took Isaac, carried the wood, and they climbed Mount Moriah. Abraham tied him to the altar, and as he was about to take the knife, the angel of the Lord said, "Stop. I see now your obedience." And then God gave this famous prophecy. He said, "God himself will provide the lamb of sacrifice." Jesus, at his baptism, being called the beloved Son, it's being told to us he is the fulfillment of that prophecy. What a mysterious thing, so far beyond our expectations. Think about the different ways in which you can hear that. God himself will provide the sacrifice. It's okay, God's going to give the sacrifice. No, it's so much greater. God himself will provide the lamb of sacrifice. This is the baptism into which Jesus is being baptized. That's why in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus and were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We have been baptized into Christ so as to share in his resurrection. That's the lesson, brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus is trying to get through to James and John and to us, that we cannot partake of the glory of his kingdom if we're not willing to go first through the passion and to suffer. That's why in Romans chapter 8, St. Paul says that the sufferings of the present are nothing compared to the glory to be revealed. But notice, the other disciples became indignant. They were murmuring among themselves. They were annoyed at James and John, probably because they beat them to the question. Right? Had they had the opportunity, they would have asked to sit at the right and the left of Jesus. And Jesus says that they are not to lord over others with their authority like the Gentiles, for the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To be sure, this service that the Son of Man came was not a humanitarian, aid. Jesus wasn't doing the work of the Red Cross, as good as that is. He's doing something supernatural. The service that Jesus is giving is a supernatural service, and it is to redeem us and ransom us from the devil. Because when we sin, we place ourselves under the authority of the Father of lies and Prince of Darkness. Notice that word, "for the ransom for many." It's like he had to kidnap us. There's a ransom note, right? And the Son of God has to come and kidnap us from the devil and take us back to where we really belong, to the Father's house. And the ransom isn't any amount of gold or silver, but the precious blood of Christ on the cross. And then he says, "for many." Wait, I thought that Jesus came to die for all. So why does he say "for many"? Well, of course, Jesus came to die for all. But not all will accept the gift of salvation. That's why at the consecration you also hear, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, highlighting that yes, Jesus gave his life for all, but not all will choose to receive the gift of salvation. Brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to give up our worldly ambitions. We have to be willing to live our baptismal promises and to truly renounce the devil, the flesh, and the world. We have to be willing to suffer with Christ like the martyrs. And we know that sometimes giving witness to Christ in our culture today can cost us a lot. And yet, it's the only path that will lead to true glory. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.